It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And now we look at what you can do to fight PFAS at home, the harmful forever chemicals detected in dozens of sites around Wisconsin and water sources actually nationwide. Call in about PFAS, your questions for the Environmental Protection Agency, 800-642-1234. Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Tom Speth is Associate Director of the EPA's Center for Environmental Solutions and Emergency Response. Tom, welcome to the Ideas Network. Hi, Tom. Can you hear us?
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. My headset was muted. Thank you very much.
That pesky mute button. Okay. Well, what should households do if they're concerned about PFAS being in their drinking water?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So, it really depends on, if you feel that you want to address this compound. There are some home treatment systems that you could employ, and you would want to look at making sure you get the right one and applying it correctly and operating it correctly. If this is a concern for you. So there are some remedies. You can also work with your local water utility and see what their response is. And noting that this is somewhat of a complex issue with PFAS because it's a group of contaminants, and you'd want to become educated within that area and knowing which PFAS you want to remove and down to what level.
Right, because, we see some communities here in Wisconsin still on bottled water over a year and a half later after learning their well was contaminated. So what steps should you take if you do learn that your drinking water is contaminated at unhealthy levels?
Yeah, so the first thing, if you want to install, say, a point-of-use device in your sink, you can go to the stores and you'd want to look for a unit that has been NSF tested, NSF International. So you look for the symbol. And for PFAS, that label would be P473 is their PFAS testing protocol that they test home treatment systems to. Now that test has certain protocols and has some things you might want to be aware of, but first you'd want to look for that. And there's been literature out there that have been published, some from the EPA and some from other groups, that suggests that a well-designed and operated point-of-use device will be effective for removing a large majority of PFAS. So that's what I would recommend. If you're interested in doing more at your household level, go to the store, look for a system. There'll be a number of systems out there that you could purchase and with different capabilities within those systems. And that would be a private, whether or not you want automatic shutoff valves when it reaches the level that the unit's been certified, et cetera, et cetera. But there are some systems out there that somebody could go and purchase.
But is there complete removal possible? Like, what should consumers be concerned about if your PFAS levels are low where they may escape detection or current treatment methods?
Yeah, that's an outstanding question. Because, the health effects, and I'm not a health effects person within EPA, but the health effects data that have been released suggests that the levels of concern are very, very low, below the detection limit of what can be measured. And that's what's out there in literature right now. Now, this has been done before by the agency. There are many contaminants that have maximum contaminant level goals that are below what they're regulated at. So the agency, US EPA, has dealt with these types of issues in the past many times. But a person who is concerned about, I don't even know if this is still in my water because we can't even measure it. That's a very reasonable concern. One would, again, if you move toward these devices that are NSF certified, and they're certified at certain levels, and NSF International is currently working on additional protocols that can be even more conservative in terms of treatment or more proactive in terms of treatment. But the contaminants will remove a fair bit of the PFAS that we can measure. And part of the problem with the PFAS is that PFAS are a group of contaminants, and they're a wide group of contaminants. And there are only analytical methods for, say, the EPA has, say, 29 or so contaminants that have EPA method, the EPA protocol for analyzing them. Other types of methods can bring that up to 50 or so or 60, but there are hundreds and thousands of PFAS. So it is a very interesting field. We don't know the health effects for the vast majority of those. Some of them that have been in the news show health effects at low levels, others perhaps not so low, but there's a lot of work yet to be done on which PFAS are of concern, and that's where the issue stands.
And that count rising now over 12,000 in that class of chemicals, that the EPA has classified. Tom Speth, Associate Director of the EPA's Center for Environmental Solutions and Emergency Responses. We look at methods of removing PFAS from the environment. Be part of the conversation. Your questions, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We talk about efforts to remove harmful chemicals known as PFAS from drinking water with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Now let's check in on our year-end membership drive. I'm here with Rob Ferret. It is the last day of the drive here on the Ideas Network. You count on WPR for these in-depth, crucial discussions, and it's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference, both this year and as we head into 2023, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are off to a great start this morning. 40 minutes left now, looking for 10 more people to join in by the end of the hour. When you give, you fund The Morning Show and all the other WPR programs that you count on. Give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, we're talking directly with the EPA about this PFAS crisis in drinking water and what Wisconsin families should do. I mean, this is a vital conversation about a fundamental need that is clean drinking water for everyone. These are the kinds of critical conversations that you can count on from The Morning Show.
And WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation makes these topics, these important conversations possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
And become a sustainer. Choose a monthly gift amount to come from your bank account or credit card. It'll continue for as long as you'd like.
Because WPR is one of those things you never want to live without. Make your support ongoing with a sustaining gift. It's convenient and it's a flexible tool. Get started right now. Give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Since 2010, WPR members have provided more than 400,000 meals through food bank thank you gifts. Join together with your fellow WPR members this drive to provide hunger relief to people in your community. Ask for one of the food bank gifts with your donation of $10 or $20 a month. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in this year-end member drive, last day. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. The WPR programs you enjoy, they're possible thanks to your support and your contribution now of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you set it at, it makes a difference for our entire community.
This is the last day of our year-end member drive. It ends at 6 o'clock tonight. Your financial support during this hour is super important on this last day of the drive.
And your gift is a big part of what makes The Morning Show possible and really all the programs you rely on and enjoy possible on WPR. So take action right now. Make your gift. gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When 10 more people support WPR programs in the next 40 minutes, we will meet our goal this hour. WPR is listener-powered. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is such a big deal.
And how about choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR and provide hunger relief to people in your community.
If you are a sustaining member, thank you so much for your ongoing support of Wisconsin Public Radio. You could also make today the day you increase your support of WPR. Bump it up by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose. Online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
A big shout out to William in Wausau, says WPR is my favorite morning station. William, thank you. Diane in Eau Claire says I rely on you daily. Thank you for your excellent work every day.
Thanks, Diane. Thank you, William. How about you? You count on us for great conversations each and every day here on Wisconsin Public Radio. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your very important gift. It really does make a difference. It keeps us going strong into the new year. It takes just a few minutes online at WPR.org, or you can make a quick phone call at 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.
It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The EPA says it's taking a whole-of-agency approach and holding polluters accountable as it published a progress report recently on how it's addressing a group of over 12,000 human-made toxic chemicals. Call in with questions on PFAS for the EPA, 800-642-1234. Tom Speth is Associate Director of the EPA's Center for Environmental Solutions and Emergency Response and stays with us. Tom, we've been hearing about different technologies, and you talked about these filter systems and their designations. We've also heard about granular activated carbon systems, and some municipalities are putting those in. Should households depend on their municipality to make these treatment upgrades or take matters into their own hands by trying to buy their own filtration system for their own taps?
That's a very good question. Of course, it's a community by community issue, and also a household by household issue. But if one was concerned, if this is something that in looking at your local situation, if you have concerns about your drinking water, purchasing a home treatment device is a perfectly reasonable approach, a point of use type device. For your home, they can be installed for many different reasons. Some people put them in for taste and odor, some for specific contaminants they're concerned about in their community, and PFAS would be one of them. So make sure that when you go get a system or go buy a system, that it's correctly rated. There are a couple different types of technologies out there. Granular activated carbon, you mentioned, mm-hmm. is a viable candidate. Their anion exchange is known to be effective for a wide range of PFAS. One note there is that it's a specific type of ion exchange, so it's called anion exchange. So you want to remove the negatively charged molecules such as PFAS. Whereas many people have water softeners, which are cation exchange systems. So don't count on your water softener to take out PFAS. Okay. The third category of technologies that are out there is reverse osmosis membranes or nanofiltration membranes, high pressure type membranes, and those you can find for under sink units also.
Looking at the EPA publishing last month, the fifth contaminant candidate list, expanding the definition of PFAS to include thousands of individual chemicals for future regulation. What does it mean as a chemical is added to this list?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I'm with the Office of Research and Development. And so our program office, the Office of Groundwater Drinking Water, handles the CCL issues. So they can address that more in a legalistic and perhaps better way than I can. However, you know, adding that to the CCL, adding CCL5 is part of the program of moving toward collecting information on contaminants of concern. There are other programs out there for drinking water. For instance, the UCMR5 or uncontaminated monitoring rule.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be put in place in the next year, and it'll be measuring 29 PFAS at a large number of utilities, including small utilities across the nation. And that's where we'll get a real outstanding viewpoint on the occurrence of PFAS across the nation. A select number of PFAS were included
so
UCMR.
When are those monitors going in? I just want to clarify.
Yeah, so water utilities will be expecting to, or will be analyzing for 30 contaminants coming up in UCMR5. That will be starting in approximately a year. And that data will happen over a period of a long period of time, a year, at least a year, and it will contain 30 contaminants. In UCMR5, it's 29 PFAS that we have on EPA methods for, and the 30th contaminant is lithium.
Okay. Tom, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Tom Speth, Associate Director of the EPA's Center for Environmental Solutions and Emergency Response. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.